How did you learn about the case?
So I learned about it. You know, I used to be a reporter at the Baltimore Sun, and I learned about it because a friend of the Syed family had contacted me more than a year ago now, maybe almost 18 months ago. And the reason they found me is because I had written some newspaper stories way back in, I don't even know, 2000 maybe, or 2001, about the defense attorney who represented Adnan. Her name was Christina Gutierrez, and some of your listeners might remember her. She was a really well-known and highly regarded defense attorney in Baltimore at the time. And I was writing stories about her because she had ended up getting in trouble in her law practice. She was accused of mishandling client money and ended up getting disbarred. And it was a big deal in the legal community in Baltimore because she was so well known and as I said, so well respected. So the family came to me, and actually the family didn't come to me. This friend of the family came to me and said, can you, like, do you know any investigative reporters? Like, could somebody, you know, look into this? You know, do you remember this woman? Do you remember this case? And I barely remembered the story. I mean, I barely remembered about Gutierrez. So I was like, yeah, I kind of sort of remember. And then, so she told me kind of the bare bones of it. And then I looked up, you know, whatever newspaper stories had been written about it and looked at a few court records. And I just was so confused about, like, what happened and why did this happen? And it didn't seem like anyone had really taken an in-depth look at it at all.
As a journalist, listening to the first episode, fascinated, have no idea what you're going to continue to report for 12 times that amount of time. I mean, are you worried of running out of material and having to kind of stretch stuff? Or
no, no. I mean, and that's, I got to say, that's the beauty of this format is we don't have to stretch any. Like, we're under no obligation to stretch it beyond what it should be.
Oh, so if after 7 weeks, you think you've told the story, the podcast ends?
I mean, potentially. I don't think we're in that position. I mean, we have a lot of material. Stuff happens. We have a lot of material. So I'm not worried. I got to say, I'm not worried. But you know, my estimate right now is, say, a dozen episodes. I was talking to my producer, Julie Snyder, the other day, and she said, well, I did a sort of a new map, and I got up to, like, I think she said 15, and I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, no, you know, and so honestly, like, we do have the freedom, we could go longer, but I also could see it ending after 10. I mean, I don't think 7 gets us there remotely, but I'm not worried. There's a lot. I mean, to me, it's all interesting. I mean, that's the challenge. I hope it stays interesting for other people.
Well, how does the fact that you have a long but not specified length of time to tell the story change how you tell the story?
I mean, yeah, in so many ways it changes it, but also, I don't know that I don't want to have an elliptical answer for you, but I feel like it's not that I'm doing something completely different than I would do, say, if I was just doing an hour on the radio for This American Life, right? Because when you're doing an hour with a complicated story, I mean, we just ran a story last week about the New York Fed, right, which is incredibly complicated and had a lot of great stuff. And, you know, and we fit that into an hour. I had nothing to do with that story, so I'm not tooting my own horn there. But they, you know, so it's not like, oh, I'm leaving all the most interesting things on the cutting room floor when I have to do it for This American Life. Not at all. But I just feel like it's taking what I would do for the radio show and making that arc just stretch out over time. But the structural challenges and, like, just how do you tell the story? What happens first? What do you tell people second? What do you lay out third? It's all the same decisions. It's just kind of stretched out in this giant arc. And so I feel like the challenge of that is keeping in your head for a much longer time, what have we already told people? What do they need to know next? What do you need to know to care about this next thing we're going to tell you? you know, what do we need to remind people about? How far along a tangent can I go before we all need to turn back around and get back to the main story? I mean, I think the gift it sort of gives you as a reporter is that stuff that I just could not get into, obviously, in a hour-long show or half-hour-long show story or something. I mean, obviously, you have to pick and choose, right? But now I can lay out all of that stuff in a way that's not just interesting to me, but I hope will make the story just a lot richer and more complicated, so that it's sort of like, I want you guys who are listening to know everything I know. Which is not to say I'm going to dump my notebook into the into the show, you know, but it's like for you to understand, for you like a listener to understand why I'm so captivated by this story and why I think it's so interesting, I need you to know what I know. And this is my chance to tell you.
Do you expect most listeners to listen week by week or to binge listen?
I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. You know, like I've just started listening. My colleague Alex Bloomberg just started a podcast called Startup, which is about him starting his own podcast business. And it's really good. It's so good. And so I find myself, now that I'm in it, you know, he's four episodes in, I'm listening week by week because I can't wait. So I'm, you know, if I'm walking to work or riding a bike or whatever I'm doing, I'll look and see like, when's his next one? When's his next one? But I know with TV, well, that's a different thing because like Netflix, it's all in one thing. You know, I definitely will binge watch, you know, stuff on Netflix or whatever. So I don't know. I'm hoping that people are excited about it in the way that I'm excited about Alex Bloomberg's, like where I'm just each week I'm tuning in because I don't want to wait.
I got to tell you, about a third of the way through the first episode, I felt like I was settling in for a Laura Lippman mystery. You know, the way Laura Lippman takes some crime from the Baltimore area. And then she asks the same questions you're asking about context and why people remember what they remember and what motivated them. But she answers those questions out of her imagination, and she's always very firm about, even if there is a kernel of an event at the beginning of that plot, the rest of it's fiction.
Right.
And you're asking those questions and trying to answer them with journalism.
I know. It's hard, right? It's really hard. I know. I can't tell you, like, people keep saying, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like House of Cards, or it's like, you know, a Dickens, you know, like this kind of thing. And I'm like, I know, except it's nonfiction. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have the luxury to make it up. And I wish I had the luxury to make it up. But I think that's that's obviously the challenge is, I'm tied to the facts. And so, you know, that it just makes my job harder, but also just more interesting. You know, I have to figure that out.